هاري يوم. Last time we were discussing like and dislike, and from that we almost touch upon a topic called Advaita, non-duality. If we take the examples around us, we can say the water in my drinking glass, the sprinkler waters outside in the lawn, the water in the rain, water in Santa Ana rivers, Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Oceans, are different water. Having seen this, having identified differently, it is very hard for us to understand water in general. Different names given, let's just limit our discussion to two, Atlantic Ocean and Pacific Ocean. We identify these oceans separately so well, so that we fail to understand that these two do not exist without the element called water. So, bearing in mind very well Dvaita duality, also appears to us very real, because that's what we see and that's what we refer day in and out. Like me and Shailesh are different, me and Mona are different, understandable. Bodies are different. But the element which takes the different body is one and the same. So when we're talking about Advaita, non-duality, we have to bear in mind as to what we are referring to. At the worldly level, at the separate identity level, at the convenience level, yes, duality exists, but at the inner core level, Advaita is the only reality. Still, take a further little example that say you have water in a jug and there are various shapes of the cups water can pour in, and if the cup happens to be a triangular one, then we can say it is triangular water. Cup happened to be a long, narrow tube, we can say it's a test tube water. So when we're talking about the different shapes, so what we were referring to, duality at the worldly level and non-duality at the inner core level. But at the same time, again understand, both of these, duality and non-duality, exist simultaneously. Depends upon with which eye you are looking at it. But at the same time, liking and disliking, when it happens to us, when we are looking at the worldly level, when we are looking at the duality level. But when we are looking at non-duality level, a big question will come. That say I can say I don't like Shailesh, But then who is Shailesh? Shailesh is still the same consciousness. So you can say, I dislike myself. And then even what you mentioned, the word like, liking and disliking, that itself is a part of the consciousness. So whosoever talks is consciousness, whosoever listens is consciousness, and on top of it, whatever is the talk itself is also consciousness. So when we say that there is nothing but consciousness, do we really understand these words, that what we are talking? Advaita. We will take part of our conversation from last time and we'll add a little more to it, because this subject matter is really a deep and grave subject. We were told last time to make a note of our like and dislike. It is not a matter of transforming ourselves, improving ourselves, but simply be aware of our like and dislike, so we get a chance to study our mind. We can see how epidemic our likes and dislikes pervade our life. They enter our lives unconsciously. It is so easy to talk about doership, saying, I know that I am not the doer. One can very easily say. But if we do not study our likes and dislikes, their lasting impressions on our mind will create ripples or disturbances. In Sanskrit called vritti. And that is how Patanjali defines yoga, chitta, vritti, nirodha. Vritti, ripple, chitta, mind. The vritti, so the ripples in the mind, to understand and not to entertain those, and as a result, let the ripples be dissolved, and the state that is attained is called the state of yoga. After all, who is doing the like and disliking? Liking and disliking easily lead us to form opinion about others right away. We become judgmental. Our communication is impressive. Impressive in this usage does not mean that others will be impressed with us, as in making a favorable impression. These are the impressions that are formed on our mind. This kind of impression is called vasana in Sanskrit. Divinity is even filtered through the vasanas. It is filtered through the impressions which were left on our mind, whereby we try to understand the divinity. That's why so often people ask, will I go to heaven? Will I be realized? Will I get a sat? As if sat is something to be gotten. As if sat, the truth, reality, as if it is something to get hold of. So, any time this question comes, we understand that we do not understand the basic, even the definition of reality. In this light, let me mention a short story which I heard, and that is, a disciple is asking his guru, sir, will I go to heaven? And whereby he meant heaven, somebody may ask, will I be realized? And the Guru is not answering his question. Next day comes and he says, oh, by the way, sir, will I go to heaven? Guru is not answering this question. 6 months goes by and he never fails asking this question, will I be realized? Question keeps coming. After a year, when he did not get answer, he was frustrated and he was talking to another Swami, another Guru, saying that my Guru never answers my this question. I don't know what to understand out of it. Then the other fellow happened to be a little smarter and he says, look, your question is not correct. You rather ask him, will you be realized, rather than will I be realized. So the guy comes again to his Guru and says, sir, will you be realized? When will you be realized? Guru understands that there is some backup behind it. It is not his question. Because until now he was asking the question, will I go to heaven? Now, will you go to heaven? And Guru simply closes his eyes and he utters these four words, if I will go, I will. Listen very carefully this word. Guru says, if I will go, I will. All of us can think on this matter. He did not understand, the disciple did not understand Guru's this statement. And still a little off topic that I must mention. In the Guru Mantra it is said, Mantra Moolam Guru Vakyam. That means, every sentence that the Guru talks is and should be a mantra upon which disciple has to contemplate maybe his life long. So here, if I will, I will. If I will go, I will. He went and talked to so-called the second Guru. When he was approaching the second Guru says, did you by the way ask your Guru that will you go to heaven? And he says, yes I did. What did he say? He say, if I will go, I will. The second Swami, being little intelligent, he came along with him. Both of them bowed down. And then the second guy explains to the disciple what he meant by, if I will go, I will. First I, he is referring to ego, the duality. The dual identity that I am somebody. When the duality will go, only then the non-duality or the Advaita can be realized. But that doesn't mean that you force or you kick the duality out. Understand, experience the duality in total, in detail. Do not expect other people to tell you. do not expect other person, including Guru, to give you the answer. Do not let other person to tell you that Atlantic Ocean and Pacific Oceans are separate locality of the same water. But are you convinced at the core of your heart? Not only convince, experience. And when that will happen, you have no choice but to experience the prevalence of silence. And at that time, you will wonder, who is the talker? Who is the listener? And what is the talk? Because everything is nothing but consciousness. Your words are also the manifestation of consciousness. You and I are also the consciousness, separate form, separate locality, separate external identity. That's why many times we are told, appreciate the identity, less identity. The first identity refers to dualism, more than one, that you are separate. And the second identity word is used to understand that that is only the thing. And even when you say that is only the thing, means our mind may be thinking of something else. That's why Sanskrit word Advaita Nandual, it is no other. Anything that is done with intention, now we are understanding how our mind works and how it is a catch-22. That is, one thing leads to the other. That means a thought gives rise to action, and actions create the karmas. Karma leaves the impression, and with the impression, another thought emerges that leads to action. And you see how dirty the cycle is. Anything that is done with intention, the mind is involved, and that becomes karma. Once the karmas are formed, and at some point in time, actions will follow. Understand the phenomena of cause and effect. And then effect leads you to another cause, and that leads to another effect. Long ago, when we had a chance to study Hiranyagarbha, and we were told it is the seed of causality, where there is no cause, there is no effect. Anyhow, that itself needs quite a bit of contemplation. Seed of causality is divinity. You see how karmas lead to action and action lead to karmas. Impressions left on the mind through thought and actions are vasanas. And vasanas are the latent energy which creates ripples, vrittis on the mind, and thus away from yoga, wholeness or unity. Yoga is oneness, yoga is wholeness, yoga is unity. Whereby we are now touching upon the second sutra of Patanjali, Patanjali's Yoga, discussing Yoga's Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Nirodha is a word some people translate as blocking the vrittis. But mind you, blocking is also an action. And so when we intentionally block something, we are creating more karmas, and we are back into our circle of karmas, vasanas, vritti. When we think of exhausting karma, we can see that any activity leads us to another karma, another action, and another reinforcement of doership. Then we might ask, so what needs to be done? Really, nothing needs to be done. Just observe our state of mind, simply observing the thoughts without entertaining them or believing in them, will lead us to an awareness of accumulated karmas. Our accumulated vrittis will surface where they can be observed. Just observe, do not entertain our thoughts and our state of mind. When you are driving on a freeway and paying your attention to cars in a neighborhood lane, they come and go. Likewise, so-called meditation can result in something similar. I'm using the word so-called meditation. With the word meditation, because this is not really meditation. It is dharana, that is, a concentration technique, a technique whereby we are witnessing the mind. A concentration technique. When we are focusing on one or two elements, what happens is that we are given an opportunity to observe the running of our mind, which is almost constantly going in different direction. And last time the two characteristics of our mind were explained to us, laya and vikshepa. Vikshepa meaning disturbance, running around in different directions. Right now, we are having satsang. You may be listening to, but you may not be listening. Your mind may be somewhere else. You may be thinking, it is 6:30 and I have to rush to work. I don't think any of you are drinking coffee nor having breakfast while listening. That's a common social trend whereby you are neither completely listening nor are you having your breakfast. Entertaining any thought will keep us in disturbance. This disturbance is not necessarily unpleasant. This disturbance is simply the ripples which must occur with any mental activity. Laya, meaning the state of sleep, it is other characteristic of mind. In this case, the mind is not disturbed, but that is also not in the state of awareness. To experience our nature, which is Sat, Truth, the mind must be still. Mind must be in a state of silence. And that's why, quite often it is said, stillness is the altar for divinity. Divinity resides in silence. Only then, are we in the state of awareness? Chitta, the consciousness. Pure consciousness is easy to talk about, but extremely hard, if not impossible, to understand with our mind. With these, my friend, let us observe some 30 seconds of silence and thank Divine for giving us this opportunity to understand and study duality, non-duality, vrittis, vasanas, laya, vikshepa, various state of mind, and made delicate attempt to understand the world, heaven, will I go to heaven. Adio. Now let me answer a question, consideration that I should talk a little bit about the word chitta. There are two words very similar to it, so one has to understand. One word is chitta, C-H-I-T, and the other word is chitta, double T, C-H-I-T-T-A. Now, when we talk about a single T, chitta, it refers to state of consciousness, and that is something which we have previously given a metaphoric comparison to lake. And chitta, our mind, is nothing but a disturbed state of consciousness, or the disturbed state of lake with waves, which is called the ocean. So if we understand it to identity, one is called the ocean and the other one lake, then you will understand what is mind and what is consciousness. So, consciousness is a state of being. It is sometimes, some people referred as mind stuff, and it is like calling ocean stuff as lake, lake as the ocean stuff. Meaning, lake is undisturbed state of ocean. So when the mind is undisturbed, then only you could see the, you can experience the real experiencer. Okay?